So I'm here today to talk about how my research group has been catalyzing change in rural Guatemalan childbirth care through a training program called PRONTO. PRONTO is absolutely a team effort. You can see there are lots of authors here. I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Dillis Walker and also Dr. Edgar Kessler for their work in Guatemala and elsewhere. And our funding for this work in Guatemala specifically comes from a consortium of funders called the Alliance, which is administered by the WHO, and also from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So, what is PRONTO? PRONTO is a simulation and team training program for obstetric and neonatal emergency response. We use low-tech, highly realistic simulated scenarios as our primary teaching tool. So I think in this photo you can see a few of the really important elements of our simulations and our simulation training. Let's see if I have a pointer. I do. So in the background here, you can see this is a woman who has just given birth as part of one of our scenarios. You can see she's starting to hemorrhage. And then in the foreground, we have providers who are resuscitating a baby who, upon birth, was flaccid. The actress in the back is wearing our PartoPants birth simulator. This is an open source technology that you can find online and sew your own if you would like. And anyone who's interested in checking out the birth simulator is welcome to do so afterward. This really brings a lot of realism to our scenarios because when a patient actress puts on these pants and actually gives birth to a baby and cries out and bleeds, the providers really get immersed in that scenario. They really believe that they're experiencing an emergency. And this photo was taken in a clinic in rural Guatemala. So the providers here are using the resources that they have available to them in their setting from day to day and also working with the teams that they typically work with to manage an emergency. So those are both really important aspects of our training. A couple other important characteristics that I'd like to highlight. PRONTO is a team training program. So we aren't so much interested in individual skills as we are in ensuring that the whole team of healthcare providers works together in the most efficient way possible to do the right thing at the right time during those critical 5 minutes. We use a modified version of the Team Steps curriculum. So we teach them very concrete communication skills that they can use in that moment of an emergency to resolve the situation. And they are interdisciplinary teams, so we don't train the doctors separately from the nurses and the nursing assistants. You can see around this table here, we have mostly nursing assistants, a professional nurse, and also a traditional birth attendant from the community. We also have discovered over the course of our training that these highly realistic simulated scenarios provide a great opportunity to talk about humanized birth, respectful care, because these issues come up naturally during the trainings. Oftentimes it's a nurse from the facility who acts as the patient in the scenario and can reflect on the care that her colleagues are providing, and her voice is very strong in that scenario to encourage those providers to reflect on their care. Just a brief overview of the nuts and bolts of PRONTO. We deliver it in two modules, a total of 3 days' worth of training. The first module is 2 days, and we touch on topics of teamwork, obstetric hemorrhage, and neonatal resuscitation. We run our participants through 6 simulated scenarios. We also carry out cultural identity reflection and birth needs activities, which are particularly important in the Guatemalan context. And module 2 is 8 hours. So just 1 day, we come back 3 months later for module 2, we run them through an additional 3 simulated scenarios. And I also just wanted to point out, at the end of module 1, we conduct what we call a strategic goal setting or a strategic planning session with the healthcare providers. Oftentimes during the simulated scenarios, the providers will notice barriers to effective care that are cropping up in their facility. Maybe the hemorrhage medications are not stored in a convenient location for those providers, for example, so they might set a goal to place a cooler in the delivery room area with the appropriate medications that they need. And then when we return 3 months later, we check on the progress toward those goals. So I'm very pleased to be with this group of panelists today who's interested in skilled birth attendants. What I'd just like to mention here is that, and I think the other panelists would agree, that we can't take for granted that that healthcare providers in a given facility are going to actually be skilled, and particularly in the moment of an obstetric emergency, putting it all together to do the right thing at the right time can be very challenging, and so we work to really make sure that they have those skills and can put them into practice during the emergency. So we are measuring Pronto's effectiveness. This is an implementation trial that is ongoing right now in Guatemala. We also have trials in Mexico and Kenya. In Guatemala, we're using a cluster randomized design. Our next stage of the project in our scale-up will be a stepped wedge design. And when I talk about measuring our impact, our primary outcomes of interest are perinatal mortality, maternal and perinatal morbidity, and key interventions to resolve obstetric and neonatal emergencies. And we're using a modified near-miss approach to assess those impact outcomes. I'm happy to talk with anyone who's interested here about what that means, and also the modifications that we're using. For process indicators, we also have a series of indicators that we're looking at. We're observing provider practices during normal deliveries. Pronto does focus on emergencies, but we also encourage evidence-based care during normal deliveries. We see all of those components as being very integrated, normal care, emergency care, doctors, nurses. So it's a very comprehensive approach, and observing normal deliveries can tell us a lot about changes in practice that are occurring in our facilities. We also we videotape all of our scenarios and use them to debrief with the providers. That's where a lot of the learning occurs, but we also analyze those videos for specific teamwork skills that we're looking for. And the results that I have to present for you today are very preliminary indicators, which are results of our knowledge and self-efficacy assessments. We do those pre- and post-training with the participants who are in the room with us. And then I'm also going to talk about that goal achievement that I was mentioning earlier for strategic goals. So our Guatemala cluster randomized trial consists of 15 intervention and 15 control clinics. The trainings took place last year from July to November. We trained 219 providers, and you can see that in Guatemala, the majority of the health workforce that's attending deliveries is auxiliary nurses. So these are nursing assistants who may have some secondary school and about 9 months of training post-secondary, and they are attending the majority of deliveries. We also included 14 traditional birth attendants in these various settings in our training. And it's important to mention that in Guatemala, Pronto does not stand alone. It's part of a package of interventions, including a social marketing campaign to encourage institutional delivery. And we also have what we call our midwife liaison component, where we have professional midwives who are doing outreach work to traditional birth attendants and also working within facilities to sort of bridge the gap between the midwifery model of care and acknowledge the very critical role that traditional birth attendants play in the Guatemalan woman's childbirth experience. So for our knowledge results here, we administer a short test, pre- and post-training, to all of our participants. And for obstetric hemorrhage and neonatal resuscitation, we have the opportunity to reevaluate their knowledge at 3 months post when we return to deliver Module 2. So you can see the orange bars are our pre-scores, the red bars are our immediate post-scores, and post 3 months are gray bars. And you can see here that for the most part, we do see an increase in knowledge from pre to post. Obstetric hemorrhage, unfortunately, we lose that effect at 3 months. But really, knowledge gains on the individual level are not particularly the most important thing that we're looking at for Pronto. It's interesting to get that feedback initially to make sure that our training went okay and that folks were learning, but we're more interested in, is this really changing behaviors at the clinic level? So one of the other ways that we assess that is through these self-efficacy assessments. So again, we ask the providers to rate themselves pre and post. And we have post 3 months for obstetric hemorrhage and neonatal resuscitation. And they're asked to score themselves on a scale of 0 to 100. How confident do they feel performing particular actions during an obstetric or neonatal emergency? And you can see we gain a nice amount of self-efficacy in our preeclampsia area, and I also thought it was interesting that for neonatal resuscitation, there was some gain in self-efficacy after Module 1 and before Module 2. Self-rated self-efficacy has some pretty evident challenges in interpretation. I also just wanted to point out, we did see increases in knowledge and self-efficacy. I decided to choose just the knowledge slide for today. Across professions. So we heard a lot of criticism that that training doctors, nurses, nursing assistants all together in the same room might not work, that the learning curve would be really different for all of these different professions. And you can see we've grouped the doctors and nurses together here. They tend to have a much higher level of baseline education as well as post-secondary education, and separated out the auxiliary nurses, and everyone seems to be gaining some knowledge, even though they're sitting together in the same classroom or simulation. And our results look very similar when we're talking about self-efficacy as well. For strategic goal achievement, through our study, 15 clinics set out to achieve a total of 82 strategic planning goals, and they wound up achieving about 56 of those. So this is really a little bit more interesting to us. We want to know that the providers are taking what they're learning and they're immediately putting it into practice to create changes in their environment that might avoid errors or that might improve practice. So one of my favorite examples from Guatemala, and I'll just mention this one, is there was a particular site where the participants discovered during the simulation that the table they were trying to resuscitate the neonate on was too high, and they couldn't adequately perform the maneuvers. So they committed to basically just chopping the legs off of the table a little bit, and when we returned, they had a table that was the correct height to resuscitate a baby. Another interesting finding from our Guatemala study, again, this is part of a package of interventions, including the social marketing campaign, and we have so far seen a 9.4% increase in institutional delivery, and that's using a difference in differences approach. This is a partial result. Please feel free to ask questions. I'm happy to model the birth simulator for you afterward. Thank you so much, and I'd be interested in questions.
As I invite, I'm going to save Francesca's questions for the group. While I invite the speakers to come up, and I think you'll have to bring up one more chair for yourself, I wanted to just share with you a little epidemiological experience we just had, in that every time I moved the lock on the projector, things improved. So I assumed that moving the lock was the cause. So what lesson did we learn there? The second thing I learned is when I went out outside to find help, there was no system. When I finally found a telephone that had a phone number to call on it, and I followed the protocol exactly, it ended up referring me 4 times and still didn't get a response. So all of that is to say we deal with a lot of things in international health, don't we? And we can't assume that something we did had the impact until we really look at it carefully.